The gospel text this morning comes from the Gospel of Luke. I read for you Luke 11, the first 13 verses. Luke 11, 1. Listen for God's word for you this day. Jesus was praying in a certain place, and after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us. And do not bring us to the time of trial.'" And Jesus said to them, "Suppose one of you has a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say to him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, for a friend of mine has arrived and I have nothing to set before him.' And he answers from within, 'Do not bother me. The door has already been locked. My children are in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything.' I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, at least because of his persistence, he will get up and give him whatever he needs. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given unto you. Search, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches finds. And for everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Is there anyone among you who, if your child asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead of a fish? Or if the child asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" This is the word of God for the people of God. Some of this sounds familiar. Jesus' words were spoken in response to the request put to him, "Lord, teach us how to pray, just as John taught his disciples." So Jesus, the rabbi, taught them in 3 different ways how to pray. First, he prayed the words. And yes, we're more familiar with a longer version of that prayer, the one that comes from the Gospel of Matthew. But because the other version is so familiar, we recognize the shorter version here. So yes, those are the words we know, the formula we know, or probably should be following, to pray to the Creator God. We call it the Lord's Prayer. And they're the first way that Jesus responded to the disciples' request. The second lesson that the rabbi gave that day came in the form of a story. It was actually an absurd story about neighbors. We know that in the first century, people baked bread for their meals. They baked bread every day, enough bread to last for everyone in the family that one day, and a little extra for a guest who might stop by. And because people in the first century usually lived near their extended family, because people relied on one another for protection, for companionship, for the sharing of talents and gifts to keep their families going, they were very close to their neighbors. If they weren't actually related to the people right next door, they were certainly acquainted with them, usually friends with them. So the story that Jesus told was absurd because no one would ever refuse a friend for a legitimate request. And certainly, if they were awakened in the middle of the night, it would be understood that this was a very important request, or the neighbor wouldn't have come by in the middle of the night and asked. So, as we hear the story that the disciples heard from Jesus that day, we hear the instruction to be persistent in prayer. Ask, and it will be given to you. Search, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened for you. For everyone, not a small chosen minority, no, everyone who asks receives. And everyone who searches finds. And everyone who knocks will see the door open. As wonderful and full of promise as these words are, they've probably been misunderstood and misinterpreted by a lot of folks over a lot of years. Yes, this gospel lesson contains three teachings about prayer, but I think that's the one we remember. We hear it, and we want to hope that it's true. Yet, I'm not quite sure we know what to make of it. Those who pray only for their own self-interests find this statement a promise that their wishes will be granted. After all, who of us hasn't had the experience of praying for something that seemed right and good? Surely we think it's what God wants too, only to ask and not receive. I do not believe that Jesus was offering followers a blank check here. He didn't mean that if you pray to win the lottery, you shall, or that if you pray, you can fly off Niagara Falls and land safely without being killed. Those kinds of over-the-top prayers are certainly harmful and incorrect. No, Jesus did not say that he would give you anything and everything you pray for. For instance, if you pray to understand the intricacies of thermodynamics and quantum physics at the age of 5, most likely the answer to your prayer will be no. Or if you're 100 years old and you pray to be vigorous and healthy with the muscle power and the endurance of a 25-year-old, most likely the answer again will be no. On the other hand, perhaps what Jesus was saying here is still full of promise. He invited everyone to ask, to search, to knock. No one was left out. He offered the invitation to his individual students seated at his feet that day, and also to you, to me, to everyone who would hear his words for all of time. The implication here is that he does answer everyone who asks, searches, and knocks. The answer may be yes, or it may be no, or it may be wait. Actually, it's quite possible that frequently God has answered my prayers, and I just don't like the answer, so I keep asking. Someone once said that God answers prayer in one of four ways. Yes, no, wait, and are you kidding me? See, Jesus' instruction to be persistent in prayer, to keep asking, to keep searching, to keep knocking, is not necessarily to insist on receiving exactly what we've asked for. Rather, it is ultimately more important that we are persistent in seeking, searching, asking, knocking, so that we find relationship with Christ, and valuing that relationship more than everything and everyone. Unfortunately, many misunderstanding people believe that prayer is an exercise in magic. People often believe that if they say just the right phrase, or have just the proper technique, or stand in some sacred space, they can persuade God to answer their prayers just like they want them answered, just when they want them answered, just because they want them answered. But prayer is not rubbing a magic lamp, and God is not a genie. Prayer is not putting coins in a vending machine. It's not putting our wish list in the right slot, pushing the right button, and waiting for the vending machine God to spit out exactly what we asked for. Prayer spoken to God happens because of a relationship, an intimate, loving, constant relationship. It is as natural as turning around and seeking to speak to a friend. And then, more importantly, it is listening to God and being transformed by what is being communicated. Maybe the first clue to understanding everyone who asks receives is that all of our praying must be an expression of seeking first God's kingdom. Prayer is vital, for how can we expect to be in relationship with God if we can't communicate with God? Two men were shipwrecked on a deserted island. They lost count of the days they'd been there and grew tired of waiting for help to arrive. Frustrated by their situation, one man began to pray. "Dear Lord, I know that I haven't been a very good person. In the past, I have lied, cheated, and hurt people with my behavior. I drink, smoke, swear, and gamble. But God, if you'll get us out of this mess, you'll see a changed man. I'll," at that point, his friend shouted, wait, stop right there. Don't say another word. I see a boat coming. It's headed in our direction." That's known as conditional prayer. It's a promise that if God will do something, I'll respond in a way that God will approve. If God will provide, then I will react. It's conditional. And it's not prayer. It's bargaining. It comes not because of an existing relationship, but precisely because there has been no relationship. If there were a worthy relationship already in place, we'd have known better than to bargain for what we want. If a relationship were already in place, we would lean on that relationship. We would believe in that relationship. We would trust that an answer was present, a good answer was present, because of the relationship with a good and reliable God. The disciples noticed Jesus praying all the time, and they said, "Teach us to pray." And what followed was a profound lesson from Jesus about prayer. It was not a lesson in a right technique. It was not a lesson in right phrasing or magical words. It was a lesson in persistence. Through the story of the man banging on the door all night and the repeated words, "ask, seek, and knock," Jesus was teaching that effective prayer is consistent prayer. Effective prayer is a continual connection to God. As Jesus teaches us to pray with our lives as well as our lips, we are invited to see the world as Jesus sees it, the world's wounds as opportunity for healing, the world's needs as opportunity to experience God's generosity. You see, prayer is not designed to change or persuade God. It is designed by God to change me. Prayer is a spiritual discipline through which I can be formed into a disciple, and I can sit at the Master's feet and learn about the relationship with the very creator of my being. Prayer is my opportunity to engage in the most profound relationship ever known. And it is available. It is always available to everyone. So please, ask, seek, knock. Then learn from the Master, from the Christ. Learn to pray and practice it often. Our world depends on it.